Alrighty, if you have your Bibles handy, would you open them up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? You know, I've been praying a lot about what to share, and I have found after 30 years of full-time ministry that many times when I share out of the overflow of my life, that it carries a little greater impact to those I'm sharing a message with, simply because I'm a fallow, to quote a term that's used in the book of Revelation chapter 1, I'm a fallow sufferer with some of you. And what I mean by that is specifically is, you know, this is last several months have been what seems like to me have been a season of loss. What do I mean by that? I have lost friends to two main things, cancer and COVID. People I've known, people I was close to. Just Monday, I heard that there was a gentleman who was the sheriff in Lincoln, Illinois, who was revered in the community for his years and years of service. Good Christian man, loved the Lord, was an example. Went to high schools after his retirement to talk about the negative effects of drugs and alcohol and such to the young people. And at a young age, at the age of 65, you know, cancer took his life. It was interesting because on the obituary, they had written that on Friday night, this last Friday night, he was at an award ceremony where he was being honored for his service to the community. And he said, you know, that he wishes that he might, if he finds the time, that he might write a memoir of his many experiences. Then on Sunday, he passes on. And, you know, we hear of high-profile people in the news, in the Christian world. Carmen passed on because of complications to his health, you know, from the cancer situation that he had a couple years back, and so on. And personally, in my life as a father, having my youngest, you know, who has lived with me for the last 3 years, and we've grown incredibly close. And, you know, she got married a couple weeks ago, and they're off. She and her husband are off to the East Coast to make a life there. And I'm glad, I'm happy for them. But a part of me, a selfish part of me as a dad, you know, won't interact with her on a daily basis. So that's a little tough. So, you know, I can sincerely say that I've been in a season of loss. And so I want to encourage you this evening by simply saying this, are you in a season of loss in your life? I think we all, as a general populace in America and across the world, because of the COVID restrictions, we have had loss to some degree or the other. I think many of us know someone, or we're close to someone, or have been related, or were related to someone who passed on because of COVID. And I know several friends that I've interacted with in the past that I have lost to COVID. And so, and maybe you're in a season of loss. Maybe it's the loss of your health. Wow, what a huge loss. You know, if I lose something in my vehicle, in fact, on Friday, I'm going to go get it serviced for the 20,000 mile service. They accumulate quite fast. But, you know, I can always take it to the dealership where they can repair it. And yes, when our health breaks down, we can go to the hospital. But sometimes health, you know, as we get older, deteriorates. And we can't replace things in our health as we could, as easily as we can in a car. So, you know, maybe it's a loss of health. And that is, I cannot imagine, that's got to be something very difficult to grapple with. Whereas one day you were able-bodied, and then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, things in our bodies begin to deteriorate. You know, maybe you've had the loss of a loved one, someone close to you, and you don't know what to do, and you're thrust into a new reality, into a bizarre world of grief. That one that you didn't ask for, one that you were not looking for, but now one that life has dealt you. And so I say all that preliminarily to say that there is a God who is present to help. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe it's 46, that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. And I'll say it this way, when trouble knocks on the front door, God doesn't run out the back door. He is very present in your life. And so we want to plug into His presence in our lives. And so I'm going to teach you from the Word of God some truths here that I pray are very relevant and comforting to you. So if you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's begin reading with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, notice, of mercies. On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about loving mercy. Well, God is the God of all mercies. Thanks be to God for that. And notice carefully, the God of how much comfort? All comfort. All good comfort that comes to your life in whatever form it comes, it is all from the loving and merciful hand of our comforting God. He truly is the God of all comfort. You know, God doesn't just leave us here in this life fraught with tribulation and troubles and pressures and problems and loss. And He doesn't tell us to, it's going to be sink or swim. He's there to comfort us in our troubles. Verse 4, notice, the God of all comfort who comforts us in how many of our tribulations? All our tribulation. All. He's the God of all comfort, and He comforts us in all our tribulation. What is the word tribulation? In the Greek language, it is a Greek word, thlipsis. It's a funny-sounding word, thlipsis, which simply means this, pressure. It means pressure. Have you ever been in a situation in life where you're facing pressure, external pressure? Maybe pressure that others are putting on you. Maybe pressure that life is putting on you. Maybe life is breathing down your neck. And you feel like the space around you is just shrinking and getting more narrow. And all of a sudden you had all kind of room to work with. But now you find yourself in a very narrow place. You know, the Bible speaks of that, the narrow places of life. And it says that God will always take us out of the narrow places and will put us into a broad place of blessing. So let's keep that in mind when we are facing pressure, the pressure of a loss. Emotional pressure, you know, that is real. Grief is real. And we have to allow, a good word about grief is that we don't determine how we grieve or how long we grieve. With grief, we're along for the ride. Sometimes we might go through the cycle of shock, disappointment, sadness, bargaining, anger, and then acceptance. And we might do it all over again and all over again. People grieve differently, but grief is real. And with grief, you're just along for the ride. So you have to let that take its course through your emotional being. And sometimes that adds pressure to an already busy life that we might have. Okay? Now, it says here, who comforts us in all, verse 4, in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So this comfort is kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. The God of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles. Why? So that we can in turn turn around and help somebody else and comfort them with the same comfort that God comforted us with. It's very important, all right? Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Do you believe that that the sufferings of Christ are abounding in you in this season? Season of loss, season of grief, season of turmoil, season of chaos, season of difficulty. You know, it's not easy. There's pressure, like I said. But these are sufferings. And what Paul says here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that as these sufferings happen, as they abound in our lives, so also God's comfort will abound in your life. I remember many, many years ago, I had a friend of mine who lived in Greenville, Illinois at the time. He was a pastor of a church. At the time, me and my family lived in Effingham, Illinois, and he invited me to go preach to his church on a Saturday morning. And they had had some sort of kind of a breakfast for a little church gathering there. And I remember that, you know, I took to the pulpit and began to minister a message along these lines of comfort and the God of all comfort. And I remember when the service was over, the pastor, the host pastor, got up and he gave an invitation. And he said, does anybody feel you need prayer, or does anybody have a testimony? And I remember one sweet lady, she stood up and she was in tears. She said, I wasn't planning on coming to this service. I'm not from this church. You know, a friend of mine invited me, and last minute I decided to come. And she said, boy, am I glad, because it spoke right to my situation. What happened there? The God of all comfort arranged an appointment without her knowing it. She just happened to walk into it for him to comfort her. Isn't that beautiful? And God will always find ways. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Listen, my friends. God will always find ways to comfort us. He knows our address. He knows how to ring our bell. All right? Verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, also so also you will partake of the consolation. You will partake of the comfort. So do you see that every trouble is matched with comfort? With corresponding comfort from the Lord. Now, we're going to go into verse 8. Very interesting, because now we're going to look at, we're going to kind of pan out or pan away from the comfort aspect, and we're going to look at the severity, how severe our troubles can be. Paul speaking here from firsthand experience, he says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren or brothers, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, that is a mouthful that he just said. All right? Now, who have you all ever heard a statement like, God will never give you more than you can handle? Let me say here, that's malarkey. That's not true. Listen to the words of Paul. He says in verse 8, we were burdened beyond measure. All right? Above strength, that we despaired even of life. I think the New International Version says something beyond our ability to cope or manage. Beyond our ability. Isn't that God giving us more than we can handle? I'd say so. So, you know, when people tell you, I know some, we Christians are some of the most well-meaning people in the world, but sometimes what comes out of our mouths is silly and unbiblical. And this is one example where people try to comfort people by saying, oh, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle. No, the reality is that life will give you more than you can handle. Notice what Paul says, beyond our ability to endure, I believe are the words of the NIV, beyond our ability to endure. How hard was it for Paul? He says that he despaired even of life. Now, are you in a point of despairing of life? What does that mean? You don't know if you're going to keep go on living. You don't know. You know, perhaps you're tired, you're worn out, and you're having these crazy thoughts about, boy, it'd be better if I wasn't alive. Or you just don't know if the diagnosis from the doctor's office is going to come back with terminal in front of the word cancer. You know, that's tough. Would you say that's beyond an ability to endure? I'd say so. Paul said, we despaired even of life. We didn't know, Paul said, if we were going to make it. But notice he does not stop there. He goes on to say, verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. You know, in the Greek language, this is how it reads. We had the sentence of death that could be enacted at any time. Would you call that despair? Paul felt that death could come down on him at any time. Physical death could snuff out his life at any moment. That's pretty severe, isn't it? kind of adds a little perspective to our problems. And he says here in verse 9, notice, that we should not, I like the way the NIV says it, and I'm just going to quote it from the NIV. And this happened to us, that we should not trust in ourselves, rely on ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You know, a lot of people talk about trust. Oh, I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord. You know, when you truly trust the Lord, when all props are removed from our lives, then you're trusting the Lord. You know, I've heard people, once again, I like challenging some of these little dumb things that for years have been used in the body of Christ to teach people. You know, they define trust as somebody sitting down on a chair. Is that really trust? You just don't think about it. You sit down and trust that the chair is going to hold you up. I think that's kind of a lame understanding of trust. I'll give you one better. How about, let's say you are in an airplane 35,000 feet above sea level, and it's thundering and there's turbulence in the skies, and there's a crying baby that's getting on your last nerve as you white knuckle it through this turbulence, and you see the lightning outside the window. That, my friends, is trust. Not the chair. Trust happens, real trust happens, when all our props are removed. Let's just have a real understanding, church family. Listen, some of you, I want to just speak to your heart from mine. Some of you are facing some dire circumstances regarding your health. You have some real concerns. And, you know, right now I see some of you, it's like I can almost picture you in my mind, not your face or your name, but I can just picture you holding on to God for dear life, holding on to the promises of God for dear life, when everything around you tells you that you're going under. Listen what Paul says. Listen to what Paul says. We felt the sentence of death. Yes, we did. It was a death sentence that could have come upon us at any moment. But this happened so that we would not rely in ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. What's Paul saying there? You know, stuff might happen, but God is able to bring life to your situation. God is able to bring life and health to your body. God is able to breathe life into your relationships. God is able to bring life and comfort to your grief. God is able to bring restoration and something good out of loss. Do you believe that, my friend? I do believe that. God is a God of comfort. All right, now let's read on. He delivered us from a great death, verse 10, and does deliver us in Him in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Did you see what he said? He delivered us from death, and we still trust that He will continue to deliver us from death, even though the death sentence is real. You know, church family, and my brothers and my sisters, some of you are like that sheep. The image I get is from Psalm 23, where David said he prepares a banqueting table. The Lord prepares a banqueting table for you in the presence of your enemies. You know what I see? I see sheep feasting in open meadows, in open fields, the lush green pasture, and wolves just kind of lined up in the circumference. And the only thing that keeps the wolves from attacking you while you're eating is the shepherd. His rod and his staff, listen carefully, they comfort you. Boy, that's a powerful thought. The God of all comfort. What does that mean, Pastor Joe? Well, the rod was used to fend off beasts, wolves, predators. The shepherd used the rod to beat them away. And the staff was used to, when a sheep began to wander, the shepherd would reach out with the crook of the staff and get get a hold of the sheep's neck and bring it back to himself. Do you feel like you're losing your spiritual footing, my friend? Do you feel like you're backsliding, like you're slipping away, that all this pressure has had you just slowly sliding back? Well, the Lord is reaching out with his staff to bring you closer to him, to bring you closer to the fold. My friend, I pray that this ministers to you. God is present. His rod and his staff will comfort you. You're not going to go under. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for this word. I pray that your precious people would be comforted and lifted up, Lord. Lift up their spirits. Father, put on garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Father, bring glory out of ashes, beauty out of ashes. Bring flowers out of ashes in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.